kanka?
Hangisi bu ya?
Aslında neydi? Nerede?
Are you all right, Walker?
I've got this upper respiratory infection going on. I've been
I
sick
relate
for
to that.
several days.
I don't have it bad. I have the allergies, but it's the same effect.
Hanım.
Believe it. Hangisi
Aksine
I sent you a response to your 72 names question.
Yes, I got it. Thank you.
Welcome. Okay. So we're the parasha of Noah from the Zohar, section 20, and we're starting with Pasuk 153, and we'll start with a L'shem Yechud. L'shem Yechud, Kudshabri Hu, Ishkinte, Bidkilu, Urshimu, Udhilu, Urshimu. L'shem, Yudhe, Bavadhe, Biyehuda, Shalim, B'shem, Kol Yisrael. Limud Torah mitzvah, lasuk Torah mitzvah. Vayehi Noam Adonai Eloheinu aleinu maaseh yadeinu karanei aleinu maaseh yadeinu karaneihu. V'hakim oti et beriti itach amar Rabbi Elazar mehaka piyuma divrit. Leila, Kiku, Kikiv, Tma, Divrit, Litata, Mashma, Mashma, Dikivita, Viamar, Rabbi Elazar, Mikan, Olifna, Divad, Zakayin, Inun bi alma itkayim alma leela witata. But with you will I establish my covenant. Rabbi Elazar said that from this we learn that the establishment of the covenant above is equivalent to the establishment of that below. This is concluded from the term, with you. Rabbi Elazar continued to say that from this we learn that when there are righteous in the worlds above and below are firmly established. Questions, comments, thought?
Well, I would have thought that the phrase with you also was a personal one for each person who would be reading that particular scripture.
Remember, there are 70 explanations of Torah.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, on the surface level, it's talking about a personal you. But
yeah.
Zohar is bringing this explanation to show there's also another way of looking at it.
Mm-hmm. I think, too, it's also kind of introducing maybe this particular section.
It could be. We'd have to read the rest of the section to understand that. But it could be. As a general rule, the first verse either is bringing code words or it's an introducing certain concepts for
mm-hmm.
the section. So that's very, very true, very possible.
Mm-hmm. Because I don't think it just applies just to the covenant. It's almost everything applies to what's in the upper world as a picture of what's in, or rather what's in the in the physical world is a picture of what's in the spiritual world.
Again, that is the general understanding. What is above is below, but we're in a process that has not yet completed. So what is below does not match what is above until the process is complete.
Mm-hmm.
But here, what we're being told is the Tzaddikim, if there are righteous people, if there are Tzaddikim in the world, then the lower worlds are in sync. They are mirror images of the upper worlds. But if there are no righteous, then that is not true. Now, there's also other things that come from the statement I just made. Because if there are no righteous, it means that the negative system has been winning during that period of time. Because as long as there is a righteous, they keep the negative system in at a distance.
Mm-hmm.
Any other questions or comments, thoughts? Anybody else? Verse 154. Amar Rabbi Shimon, mi la satim, ihu karita ruta, did kura de legabe, nukva kadihu, mekane la, tachatse raza demila. Ta tzadika ihu bialma miad shakinta la ita diat mineya vateuta di la beya kidem ta yuta di leila lega babrihimu kiteu Ta Kitu Analukveya Kadihu Mekane Lavial Dava Hakimoti Efriti Ita Itar Teota Begina Kegavna Daviet Viriti Akim et Yitzhak. Rabbi Shimon said that this is a hidden matter because the arousal of the male to the female happens when he feels jealousy toward her. Come and see. When there is a righteous person in the world, the Shekhinah immediately attaches herself to him and never leaves him, and she therefore desires him. The upper desire is then aroused toward her with love that is similar to the desire of a man for a woman when he feels jealousy toward her. That is why it is written, "But with you will I establish my covenant." This means that my desire is aroused because of you. The verse, "My covenant will I establish with Isaac," has a similar meaning than it is because of Isaac, as by Noah. Questions, comments, thoughts?
I'm confused with the word jealousy. Are they using jealousy to mean desire?
Yes.
Okay. So they're comparing the relationship between a man and a woman as a relationship between the Shekinah and the righteous person?
No. Well, between the Shekinah and a righteous person, but the righteous person also is a code word meaning the Zeraphim.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's important.
The righteous person is a chariot for Zeraphim.
Right.
And jealousy is a desire to receive. Because why are you jealous? Because somebody has something you want.
I don't understand the last sentence. The verse, my covenant will I establish with Jacob, has a similar meaning that it is because of Isaac as by Noah. I mean, it wasn't just with Isaac that he made the covenant. I mean, each one of the patriarchs, they were basically offered the same.
Well, here the covenant is being used with the word milah. Brit means a contract. Milah means the circumcision contract.
Right.
So he established a contract with Noah. That contract was never to destroy the world again. The contract with Isaac was, or is, Isaac represents the soul after the correction, after tikkun, that it has the same contract. With Noah, he would not destroy the world by water. With Isaac, after the Mashiach, there would be no more destruction at all. At least for the 1,000 years. Does that help to relate to that sentence?
Yeah, I was looking at it as being the same covenant, having to do with this idea of male female relationship and. And the Shekinah and the righteous person.
Okay. The word milah, the idea of circumcision, has come to mean the relationship between male and female.
Mm-hmm.
But it may not be that was its meaning in the time of Rabbi Shimon. And you always have to remember that the writing, we like to think that it's appropriate for all generations, but it's only appropriate for all generations if you understand what is its meaning in the generation that wrote it. Then you can apply it to your generation.
Mm-hmm.
155, or should we stay where we are?
Let's go to 155. Let's go one more. I feel like we haven't gotten into it enough.
Understand. 155. Et briti ibi alma uvatar vata el hateva tirmalai lalihu tzadik la yeol letevuta tehala itchabar leteva bar tzadik Ugine kach uvata el hateva behaitmar. But with you I will I establish my covenant, means that you shall be my covenant in the world. And after that, and you shall come into the ark, because had he not been righteous, he would not have entered the ark. As only a righteous man may be connected with the ark. That is why it is written, you shall come into the ark. After it has been started, after it has been stated, that with you will I establish my covenant. Questions, comments, thoughts?
Well, it's definitely telling us that Noah was a righteous person and that Hashem established his covenant with him, and because of that, he was able to enter the ark. But what else can you ask to help us?
It means that Noah, the first sentence in the Pasuk, Noah was the covenant to the world. He was a chariot. He was the channel representing Hashem to the world. He was constant, according to the Midrash, he was constantly telling people when they would come by and ask him, why are you building this boat 1,000 miles from the oceans or from the seas? And he would say, God is going to destroy the world. You need to repent. He was the channel to the physical world from Hashem with the message to repent. And if he had not done that work of warning people, even if they didn't listen to him, which they didn't, if he hadn't done the work, he wouldn't be considered righteous. So we learn that it's not the result that matters, only the action. And that's not the way the human beings wants to respond. Wants to think. Which is more important, the means or the end? The negative system will tell you it's the end that matters.
Mm-hmm.
So if I have to lie, steal, or steal in order to achieve my goal, God forbid, that's what matters, is the end result, the goal. But here we're being told no. It's the process that matters. It's the actions that you do that matter. It's not about the end result. Whatever your goal is, if it doesn't happen, it just means it will happen at a later time. And from this, we can extrapolate and arrive at the premise that I've taught from time to time, every prayer you ever make is granted. Because Hashem delegates control of the physical world to the tzaddikim. And ultimately, everyone will become righteous. So if it didn't happen to you yet, it will happen when the time is right, as part of the plan of creation. And since your soul is eternal, what difference does it make if you die now or you die in 100 years or 1,000 years? What difference does it make as long as you do your work?
Well, I think we see similar results when, as a teacher, with students, and we think we're doing one thing, or getting some concept across, or teaching one principle, and they get something entirely different, or they completely forget that you ever taught it, but then they hear it again somewhere along the way. And so I know I've had some examples where I felt kind of disappointed because I felt that they really just didn't get, you know, what I thought they should have gotten. And then maybe 10 years later, I get a phone call, and they tell me something I said that came back to them, and I didn't even remember saying that. So I've learned you do your best, and what you feel is what you're supposed to be doing for that lesson, or answer their questions to the best that you can, and then you just have to let it go. And sometimes you see the fruit of it, and sometimes you don't. But it doesn't matter. I think also with healing, you know, we pray for healing, and the person doesn't get healed. But, you know, all you have to read is at the time of the resurrection that everybody that was ill or lame will resurrect that way. But then Hashem will heal them. Or heal us, I should say. And so it's not to say that the promises aren't going to come about. We just don't necessarily know when they'll come about. But they will come about because he's not a God that lies.
Correct. My parents, my mother in particular, used to say, you make a decision, you invest your time and your energy in your children, but you really have no idea what the result will be. You invest it now, and you do not see the results for 20 years. And even then, it may not be until they're 40. But the point is, you invest that energy, you invest that time, you invest that effort. Whatever the result is, because you know when you pray for your children, you know when you invest that time and that energy, that it will come to pass correctly. You just don't know when it will come to pass correctly.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 156. Amar Rabbi Elazar Bekozina Divne Nasha Itachadun Bivrit Davila Ishbekun Leyaleit Amvelishan Bealma Diakon Leava Shalom, the Noah Akiev, Bivrit Davinatar, Leah Begine, Kach kacha kucha barichu natar leya v'kol b'nei dureya la nayadru leya begim kach kucha barichu avar lon ma'alma b'ha yitzmar b'ha hu Chova mamash te'inun chavu Kehahu gavna itmachum me'alma. Rabbi Elazar said that as long as people hold on to the covenant, no nation nor tongue in the world can harm them. And because Noah kept and protected the covenant, the Holy One, blessed be He, protected him, but the rest of his generation did not observe the covenant. So the Holy One, blessed be He, removed them from the world. And it has been said that in the same way that they sinned, they were also erased from the world. Questions, comments, thoughts?
Well, it made me think of Joseph and how the other brothers had, if you want to say, didn't keep the covenant. And because he didn't succumb to Potiphar's wife's seduction, look where he landed as viceroy of Egypt. So, kind of the same example in a way.
Yes, you're absolutely correct. Noah kept. To be able to be called a tzaddik, someone has to protect the covenant. Someone has to resist the desire for sexual gratification. That is one of the definitions of tzaddik. Now, we think that a tzaddik is someone who is doing all kinds of good deeds for other people. They're just gentle giants, so to speak. But the real meaning of tzaddik is the level of your soul. It's at the level of the creativity, and it's the level of sexual purity.
And that's why we call him Joseph HaZadik.
That is exactly correct. That is why he is named Joseph HaZadik.
Yeah. And I think, too, Benjamin was also included as a tzaddik too.
That is correct, because there is a midrash that says that Benjamin was not intimate with his wives until Joseph was found and revealed. And Joseph represents the Yesod of Zeranpin.
Right.
And Benjamin represents the Yesod of Malchut. This is the end of the section. Do you want to go back and discuss anything, or did it all become clear for you?
Well, I think I get the point. I'm not so sure it's all clear, but I think we got the highlights from it. You know, there's always more.
The last sentence in the last pasuk, I just want to make sure everyone understands that. It has been said that the world was destroyed in the same way that the people sinned. So does that make sense to you? Do you Is that clear, or do you need an explanation of that?
Well, I'd like to.
No.
This is Malka. I take that last sentence to be as the four types of death. You know, by water, by fire, by that type of. That's kind of how I see it.
Understand the four deaths are water, fire, but really hanging or drowning is one. Fire is another. The third one is the sword thrust, and the fourth one stoning. But normally we think the world was destroyed during the flood by water. And that's the question I want to be clear on. In what way is the destruction of water consistent in the same way that people sinned in that generation? Just to clarify it, in case it's not clear, when a man masturbates, he's expelling fluid from his body. He's wasting semen, wasting sperm, wasting seed are the terms that the Torah uses. The flood came as a Mida keneged mida, measure for measure. The person sinned by masturbating, this person sinned by not guarding his brit, his covenant. And so the flood came measure for measure to destroy the people. And we have all these other midrash that explains that the generation was sinful in many different ways. But this verse in the Zohar is explaining that whatever ways they sinned, that's the way they were destroyed.
Mm.
And the majority were destroyed through flood. Or fire, because we talked about having the hot water that boiled their skin.
Mm-hmm.
It related to the passion that they were following. Any other questions? We will have Zot Hanukkah at 7 o'clock Pacific time. I look forward to speaking to all of you. Bezrat Hashem. Shalom to all.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.